Mysteries around the world continue to defy our understanding of history. Ancient discoveries, lost cities, and forgotten cultures challenge everything we thought we knew about our origins and the civilizations that came before us. Off the coast of Japan, ancient structures lie hidden beneath the waves. Massive megalithic structures that appear to be carved with a precision that rivals the wonders of Egypt, Peru, and Easter Island. Could these be the remnants of a forgotten empire, a civilization that thrived in an age lost to time? Join us as we explore the evidence, challenge the past, and uncover the secrets of ancient civilizations. Courtesy of Gaia.com.
Situated on the northwest region of the volcanic Ring of Fire, this mysterious island chain is known as one of the most volatile weather zones on planet Earth. The Chinese refer to Japan as the Land of the Immortals, whose people originated from a pantheon of gods that formed the basis of the religious belief system known as Shinto, which means Way of the Gods. In Japanese, these gods and spirits are known as the kami. There are a total of 7 primary gods and spirits that closely resemble other creator deities worshipped by ancient civilizations around the world. Legends of the powerful Mu Empire echo through this weathered island chain. Precise stone carvings and megalithic platforms provide clues to possible connections to pre-Diluvian sites across the planet. Off the coast of Japan, the discovery of Yonaguni Monument in 1987 shocked the archaeological world. This massive monument measures roughly 165 feet long and 65 feet wide. The current in the water surrounding the monument is extremely powerful, making the site very challenging for divers to study. Could this submerged structure be remnants of the pre-Diluvian Mu Empire before the end of the world?
The recent discovery of megalithic blocks submerged off the coast of Japan further suggests that there was an extensive complex of civilization that existed before the deluge, before the flood, before the sea levels rose to the level that they are today. And if that is the case, it means we're talking Ice Age civilizations, a time that traditional history is reluctant to acknowledge, and a civilization that traditional historians are reluctant to acknowledge. The evidence up until recently has been called anomalous. So when discoveries are made, such as the Gulf of Kambat or the megalithic blocks off the coast of Japan, when they're found and they don't fit into the story, they're put into a pile that is called an anomaly, and they say, we'll come back and study them later. What's happening right now is that the anomalies are so great that they're telling their own story. Japan is a big part of this. The stones that we see submerged off the coast of Japan, the precision of the way these stones were created, is reminiscent of what we see in places like Tiwanaku and even the Giza Plateau in Egypt. When you talk about the smoothness, just the way it is inside the Great Pyramid, over a 20-foot area, less than 1/1000th of an inch deviance, that is the sign of remarkable workmanship and of craftsmanship using tools that we have today. Where did those kinds of tools come from, and how did the people in the Pleistocene create something like that? And if these stone blocks date to the age that the evidence suggests, this is precisely what we're talking about, that there was a technologically advanced civilization just off the coast of Japan when the sea levels were lower. And when those sea levels rose, the end of the Younger Dryas, the city was inundated. And I think we owe it to ourselves to understand what these cities are, who the people were, what it means to us in our past to help us understand our relationship to the world today and even our future.
Wherever you go around Japan, you get the sense that something much older is going on than is publicly accepted. All you have to do is look at the foundation of, for example, the Imperial Palace or the Meiji Temple in Osaka. And even if you go a little bit further south of Japan, underwater, the steps to form this platform called Yoganumi, which actually happened to mark the exact position of the Tropic of Cancer, where it was back in 12,000 BC. And of course, it's been submerged since then.
In the Kansai region, roughly in the center of the main island of Japan, Osaka Castle is a site built of massive polygonal cyclopean blocks that resemble similar stones in Peru, Bolivia, and Egypt. The massive platform, which was built long before, serves as the foundation for the castle, resembling the ancient platforms on Easter Island and in Tiwanaku, leaving more clues around the possible pre-Diluvian link between Japan and the ancient Mu Empire.
So the fact is, we're finding this polygonal cyclopean style in Japan, just like we find partly on Easter Island, in Peru and Bolivia, in ancient Egypt, and many other places. So what is going on here? Is this proof of an advanced ancient civilization on a global scale? One of the most interesting sites in Japan, to me, is Osaka Castle. Now, this is one of these sites that has these massive cyclopean blocks, precision carved, they have polygonal masonry involved with it as well. One of the stones weighs up to something like 800 tons. They're absolutely huge, some of them. The other thing about Osaka Castle, there's extreme weathering and kind of damage on many of the stones, suggesting it is actually much older than when the castle was claimed to have been built. Now, this is intriguing because polygonal style, the kind of cyclopean construction where the jigsaw stones are placed together, has been proved to work really well in earthquake zones where they just don't fall down when earthquakes occur. And we know this area is an earthquake zone. And so potentially it could have been standing for like thousands of years. You know, and can we also speculate that there's some other strange features on the stones that appear to be vitrification, like they've been superheated by some kind of cataclysm? Therefore, could they be even 12,000 years old? Could they have been witness to the Younger Dryas impact event that decimated the planet this long ago?
One of the things that you find in Japanese architecture are these megalithic constructions. Now, one of the things that I find fascinating is that when you look at some of what I consider the oldest construction, is you have these bizarre-shaped stones, and all of them have very beveled edges. And you find that same kind of architecture in South America, in Machu Picchu, in Sacsayhuaman. You find it on Easter Island, in the Imperial Palace in Japan. And so it's just a very consistent style, where if you look at what I consider later construction, instead of having these beveled edges and very tight-fitting stones, we still have odd-shaped stones, but they're not as well placed together. And that's one of the things that's very consistent about all megalithic construction, is that it's very tight-fitting. It is clean and exact. And as you move forward in time, the level of workmanship and the quality of the workmanship really disintegrates.
The culture that is most strongly associated with these incredible megalithic stone blocks found in Japan is that of the Jomon. Now, who exactly are these? Well, they would seem to have started out as hunter-gatherers as much as 16,000 years ago, but they would seem by about 12,000 years ago to have created the earliest pottery, some of which has been found in the caves of Japan. They're very distinctive, and it shows that they by this time had reached a certain stage of development. They go on to be high culture that exists across Japan through to around 400 BC, and then they disappear. They just vanish, basically, around the same time that we know Japan, with its whole institution of emperors, begins to rise up And quite clearly, they almost certainly have some kind of basis in the fact that the yeomen were there in the past, and out of their ashes, almost like the rising phoenix, comes the whole institution of the emperors of Japan.
There are several mysterious stone structures and carvings found in South America that resemble masonry styles in Japan. A lesser-known site around Lake Titicaca is named Amarumuru. The function of this site is highly debated, but the flattened mountain and precise carvings hold very interesting ties to the pillar shape from Göbekli Tepe in the Fertile Crescent, and an awe-inspiring megalith in the Kansai region of Japan.
To watch the full episode, Mysteries of the Japanese Megaliths and the Mu Empire, follow the links in the description or visit our official Gaia portal at gaia.com/fifth kind. Next, join us as we continue our journey to Easter Island, where the towering Moai statues stand as a testament to a lost civilization. What secrets do these ancient statues hold? And what do they reveal about the people who created them?
2,500 miles off the coast of Peru, in the middle of the South Pacific Ocean, is one of the most mysterious pre-Diluvian sites on the planet. Easter Island, also referred to as Rapa Nui. In 2017, a team of researchers dug up Moai monoliths on Easter Island and were stunned to find the statues' bodies buried below the earth some 33 feet. While excavating these statues, the team found etched petroglyphs on the backs of the figures, most commonly in the shape of crescents, as well as hands that wrapped across the figures' waists. They also discovered red dye on the monoliths that scientists determined was created by heating a mixture of magnetite and hematite. Mainstream understanding is that the ancient inhabitants of Easter Island were only 800 years old and that the Moai monoliths reflect this age. But alternative researchers point out that this discovery uncovers a much older truth, one that brings back the timeline of humanity before the Great Deluge.
So 2017, finally the archaeologists had a chance to dig deep into Easter Islands and look at the Moai, who we tend to think of these beautiful little faces looking at the sky. Well, I imagine to their surprise that they dig 40 feet into the volcanic tuff and, they have a body and the resemblance of legs and the hands nicely positioned around the navel. And on top of it, they found some lovely inscriptions on the back of the statues, kind of like tattoos, even with a little bit of the red ochre still attached to it, suggesting that the statues themselves had been painted in the earlier times. This is very important for a whole bunch of reasons. For once, we can actually get to the bottom of the statue, literally, put a probe under the statue and extricate some organic material to find out how old the statues have been there. And I've been in touch with the lead archaeologist at the site, and it's like, well, we found some organic material. Yes, we can now do some DNA. We can actually tell when the statues were put there. And meanwhile, 4 years later, the information still hasn't been made public. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm beginning to suspect that the dates are going to be very uncomfortable for mainstream archaeology. And having spoken to geologists on the subject, that 40 feet of material covering a very long body does not account for 800 years of erosion on Easter Island, especially given the climate of Easter Island. So we're talking about a dating which is going to be very, very inconvenient.
At Easter Island, we have these great Moai heads, and everyone thought they just stopped at the chest. Actually, when they started digging, they discovered that these Moai had full bodies, super megalithic bodies. Now, when you look at these bodies, they had all this ornate carving on them. If you look at the same thing at Göbekli Tepe, where they dug out this area and found these pillars, they have these same ornate drawings on them. You can see the similar birds, similar animals. And what's incredible is the animals and birds and the other objects carved are not from the region, neither from Göbekli Tepe nor Easter Island. So what is this? How can we have two of the very similar carvings of things not from those regions halfway across the world. So Easter Island was an eye-opener for a lot of us to make us say, well, obviously, these civilizations were linked in some way.
So there are similarities between the styles of carving, the 3D relief carving on Easter Island, as there are places like Göbekli Tepe. Now, people think there's no connection between these two ancient cultures, but it really looks like there is. I mean, one of the most obvious things is the fact that they have these hands, very long fingers pointing towards the navel. Now, not only do we get that design on the Göbekli Tepe T-pillars in these abstract human forms, we get it on the Moai, but also we must remember that in tradition, Easter Island was traditionally called the navel of the world. Likewise, Göbekli Tepe was called Potbelly Hill, again, referencing the navel. And this is all about the omphalos, the sacred center, and building your civilization around this kind of sacred point. And both of these had the same tradition, which is very, very strange. At a site called Nivali Churi in southeast Turkey, which dates to around 10 to 11,000 years old, it's now been destroyed. This is one of the sister sites to Göbekli Tepe and Karahan Tepe. And here they have multiple statues, again, like Easter Island, with these hands going towards the navel. But one of the statues has an identical design to what we find on one of the bases that the Moai stand on in Easter Island. And it appears to be like two dancing, standing up human forms. And this is on one of the statues, and it's like partly ceramic that we find at Nivali Churi. But it's also on one of the foundation blocks of the Moais in Easter Island. And when I looked at them, I couldn't believe it. They're almost identical.
Several ancient traditions speak of specific energy centers, or chakras, within the human body. Could the posture of these megalithic pre-Diluvian statues be pointing future civilizations to the importance of these sacred areas in the body?
When we consider the possibility that ancient civilizations, pre-Diluvian civilizations, could have developed in a cyclic manner, and that there is a continuity of knowledge and information, tradition, that is carried from cycle to cycle. One of the key places that we begin to see some of these traditions is with the depictions of the people who lived during these times, the people themselves. How are they depicted? What are their body postures? What are they showing us about themselves and their relationship to the world? Easter Island is a fascinating example of this. As the excavations have revealed more to the statues in Easter Island than were known to exist in the past, as the excavations have taken below ground level and shown that there are entire bodies that accompany the heads, it's the hand positions that are intriguing scholars. The way the hands are placed on the body, they're not simply at their sides, but they're showing a particular part of the body. And the question is, do we see that in other places? The answer is we do. We see it in a very interesting way. In Peru, for example, there is the legend in Lake Titicaca of how the Peruvian people began. When a being from another world came to this world, and the being that came is named Tumi, T-U-M-I, and Tumi's hands are always placed also in front of the body, but a very particular part of the body on the heart chakra. Perhaps one of the most fascinating is with Göbekli Tepe, where we see the representations of the humans and their hands are placed on the solar plexus as well. So we have two cultures, hands placed precisely the same place. Well, when we begin looking at other cultures, what we find is that their hands are placed on other chakras as well. In Easter Island, they are lower energy centers or lower chakras. Peru, middle chakras. When we look into Egypt, we begin seeing that the hands are placed over the solar plexus chakra. Each of these has very particular significance within the culture itself, with Peru being a very feminine, very heart-based culture, for example. In Easter Island, what we find is that it is that energy of survival and being able to transcend the elements and whatever hardships and challenges face the people that is derived from those lower energy centers, precisely where the hands are placed from the statues that are being excavated today. Is it possible that the Moai are sharing the same period of time or the same age when the hardships of the earth and the challenges that the people faced were so great that they had to draw upon this aspect of themselves just to survive.
We also have now the idea that the statues themselves with their hands pointing at the belly, these are found all the way throughout Polynesia. They're found in the Korean Peninsula, found in South America, and Göbekli Tepe. So, here's the connection. If the earliest carbon-14 dating of Göbekli Tepe is now at 10,200 BC, we have a problem, because the same image of the pillar with the hands clutching the belly is also found in Easter Island, and the debris on Easter Island is much older than 800 years. Now we begin to realize that whoever put the statues on Easter Island and carved the statues in Göbekli Tepe, they had to be borrowing from the same manual. They may have been ostensibly the same people, or at least the same groups of people belonging to the same academy. And not just that, but different academies around the world who are borrowing from exactly the same manual, and they're all following the same procedure. It opens up the whole story of humanity.
Could these monoliths connect with the ancient structures of Göbekli Tepe? And if so, does that mean they could have been carved over 12,000 years ago? An ancient carving has been found on the back of these heads. How does this connect the inhabitants of Easter Island to the Middle East, Turkey, or even Egypt?
If you would like to see more from Gaia's Ancient Civilization series, follow the links in the description or visit our Gaia portal at gaia.com/fifth kind. Thanks, and see you next time.